Appreciate each one that's here tonight. Thank the Lord for salvation. Several days ago, probably started Monday, I was asking the Lord, or thinking about going somewhere this weekend, and I actually had somewhere else in mind, and had the Lord start dealing with me about Guthrie for Sunday night. So I said, well, whatever you want. I'm just a little bitty vessel, whatever you want. Fine. So I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, it'd be, is this on? It's going to be a small crowd, I figured, because I got to thinking about who's not going to be here. And I thought, maybe, Lord, we could do it another time. But I said, for me to be sure you want me to go, I'd like one of two people or both people to either call me or text me. So this afternoon, I got a text from one of those two people, perfectly written. Then I talked to the other one, and I thought, well, looks like I'm going to Guthrie. So here am I. Desire your prayers. I have a encouraging message, I feel like, of the help of the Lord. It's been on my heart for several days, too. But I need the Lord to help me to deliver it. So as I got pinned the phrase in South Carolina when I was bad several years ago, I said, you pray, I'll preach. Because I need the Lord's help. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, please. This is not my text, but this is where I'm going to start. I'll read this one, and then we'll go to my text. Second Corinthians 5 and 15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but in him which died for them and rose again. Tonight, he died for everybody. He died for every one of you individually. It's not like he died for the whole world, which he did, but the bottom line is, it gets personal. Like in my vision that time, he said, I died for you, child. I died for you. Now, I'm going to culminate this thing down, but the bottom line is that the whole thing rests on the fact that he died for you, and he's got a life for you. It said that we should not henceforth live or to ourselves, but unto him, which died for us. He wants us to live to him, for him, with him, involved in him, have a relationship with him. There's a way that he wants this to be done, and that's what I want to deal with tonight. He wants you and I to have a relationship with God. If we're going to make heaven, if we're going to have victory, if we're going to have power, if we're going to have authority and have what God would have us to have, there is a way to do it. There's a way to have that, to be a blessing to souls, to be a blessing to Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost and to the church and people around us. There's a way to do it. And he said here, not living to ourselves, but unto him. Listen, Lord, help us tonight that we put our all in living for him. Everything in living for him. Not just some, but everything. All right, let's go to Psalms. Here in my text, second chapter of Psalms. Psalms 2 and the last three scriptures, Psalms 2. Now, anytime I think about this scripture, I think about of a certain brother by the name of Busby. Heard Brother Leslie talk about this down through the years. As said in the second chapter here, start reading the 10th verse. I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. But he said here, "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Now, what my burden is tonight Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Tonight, one of the commentators put it this way on this particular part of it. It said here, the word kiss here is used in accordance with Oriental usages. For it was in this way that respect was indicated for one of superior rank. This was the ancient mode of doing homage and allegiance to a king. It was also the mode of rendering homage to an idol, the mode of rendering homage to a king by a kiss was sometimes to kiss his hand, his dress, his feet. As among the Persians, they wit. The practice of kissing the hand of a monarch is not uncommon in Europe courts as a token of allegiance. So the meaning here is that they should express their allegiance to the Son of God, or recognize him as an authorized king, with suitable expressions of submission and allegiance, that they should receive him as king, submit to his reign. Oh, today, we need to kiss the Son, folks. We need to kiss him. We need to show our allegiance to him, our homage to him, and let him know, you're the king, you're the one. You're the one that died for me, and I want to do everything I can do to live for you. I want a relationship, Jesus Christ, with you. I want that. He is telling the people here in the first word about why why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? It goes on down. And so the bottom line is, he tells them in the 10th verse, he said, be wise now therefore, O you kings, and be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord. He points them back to God. He points them back. Listen, Jesus come to set up a kingdom. He come to set up and be king of everything, our hearts, our lives, and so forth. And these people are bucking against that and fighting against that and so forth. And he said, listen, this is what you need to do. Don't you follow those heathens. Don't you follow this one and that one. I want you to pay homage to me. I want you to adore me, live for me, love me, and do all you can for me. I want you to be what God wants you to be. Serve the Lord. Do it with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Listen, folks, it says kiss the Son. Lord, help us to kiss the Son tonight. Help us, Lord, to kiss him, lest he be angry. And you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, tonight, we don't want the Lord to be angry with us. We want him to be pleased with us. We want him to be blessed by us. We want him to look down in favor towards us, to lift us, to encourage us, to help us, to strengthen us, to give us grace. We want him to do that. And to do that, you and I need to kiss the Son. We need to pay him the proper respect. We need to have a relationship with him that will work. All right, let's go to Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke, the 7th chapter here. 37th verse. You've heard this read before. You probably read it several times. Where it talks about 36th verse, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now then, talks about what the Pharisee done, and what he's thinking about Jesus. And then Jesus comes in here in about the 44th verse, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest thee no water for thy feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, I want you to listen to me, Simon. I want you to listen and see as an example. Dear ones, tonight the Lord wants us to look at this example. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. This woman was a sinner, a great sinner. She needed help. She wanted to be free. She wanted something that she couldn't get otherwise. So she went to the source. She got down. Listen, folks, today, you and I need to get to the right place to get the help that we need. Amen. We need to get down there. She got down. Listen, Jesus' feet wasn't clean. He didn't pull off a Bostonian shoes and socks. He didn't have clean feet. They were in sandals more than likely. They were dusty. They were dirty. He had been walking. And this woman come in and she wanted help and she wanted it bad. Listen, how low are we willing to go? How bad help do we want? And if we're willing to get it, if we're willing to want it, if we're willing to desire it in every way that God would have, we'll go as low as we need to go to get the help that we need to get. So she went down there. She started washing. She started crying and washing. Started wiping with the hairs of her head. She started kissing his feet. She wanted deliverance. She wanted salvation. She wanted blessing. Listen, Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus. Martha was busy and Mary was the one that got the blessing sitting at Jesus' feet. It didn't say she kissed his feet, but she got there to get something good for her soul. Listen, this woman wanted something good for her soul too. She wanted salvation. Oh, tonight, how low do we have to go to get what we want to get? Tonight, this woman went as low as she needed to go, and she got it. How low are you willing to go? What are you willing to do to get the blessings? Do you need victory? Do you have a problem that you've come up against and you can't get the victory and you're stumbling over it and problem over it? I had a call coming up here dealing with it. This person has a problem. And I told him, I said, well, you've got my hands locked in some ways. I can't even do anything except talk to you. I said, we're going to have to pray. Is all we can do is pray. The Lord's going to have to help you because I can counsel you and that's what I've done. But the bottom line is I can't go any further. But you and God and me. Well, this woman went to Jesus and she got what she wanted. She kissed the feet of Jesus. Oh, today, smelly feet. How many of you like to get out there and do that? Come on now. How many would like to get down there and kiss his feet? Didn't smell good. Sister Mary Lawson brought out one time in Shawnee. She said when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, said it had to stink in there. Well, this probably wasn't no great smelling situation either, but she wanted help. She wanted help. Today, to have a relationship with God, folks, you've got to go to the depth that He wants you to go to get the help that you need to get. And that's the only way to get it and to keep it. Get on down there. How low are we willing to go? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and 1. 2 Corinthians 11 and 1. Kiss the Son. When's the last time you kissed the Son? When's the last time you got out and kissed His feet? I said, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not whit behind the very chiefest of the apostles. Now, he's worried. He's concerned. The ministers of the Church of God want to present you perfect to God. It is our jealousy and our burden. I'm not doing this because I want to do it. I'm doing it because I was called to do it. Never did want to preach. Had no interest in it. And he got to dealing with me, and I finally said, well, I guess I ain't got no choice. I'll do it. But the bottom line is, listen, saints, today, it's our burden, it's our desire to present you as a chaste virgin to the Lord, to espouse you to Christ. Listen, we preach to you, we teach you, we do everything we can do to get you to do the things that the Bible teaches you to do. Not that we're teaching, but that the Bible teaches you to do, enlightening you and helping you to get a hold of things that'll be a blessing to you all through your saved life and get you to the very end with victory. And Paul here was jealous over them. I want you to do exactly what you need to do. There's another man coming in. He's trying to get you away. He's trying to undermine. He's trying to undercut. And I want to stop that. He had a reason for doing what he was doing. Well, today I'm here to espouse you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I want you to be pure. I want you to be clean. I want you to be everything the Lord would have you to be. Kiss the son. All right, let's go to Romans, the 7th chapter. Now, here's the second hunk of my burden, if you want to call it that away. Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Marriage. Everyone in here that's married tonight, or has been, when you was there on your wedding day, and even days after, you had one desire, and that was to live your life with that person till death do you part. Want to be happy, you want to enjoy life, you want to do things together, you want to travel and whatever, you want a home, you want children, you want cars, you want a business or a job, whatever it might be. I've got something in mind and I want to do that. Marriage is a relationship between two people. That is the most beautiful relationship that you can have. It's the same, what do you want to call it? Well, anyway, if Jesus uses a relationship in the Word of God between him and the church, the bride and the bridegroom. Well, today we're the bridegroom. You and I are to be married to Jesus Christ. We're to be married to Christ. We're to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. There was a sister, well, I won't name no name, but she's in the Saul family. And she's not here tonight. But she told Rebecca and I, Becky, now she didn't tell me, I guess, she told Rebecca a number of years ago, when the girls were fairly young, she said, I want to give you some advice, Rebecca. Said, you and Carl need to keep your relationship warm. You need to keep working together and doing things together. Keep a knowledge of one another, so to speak. I don't know just how she worded it. But in other words, be careful that you don't drift apart because of the children. Because of school, because of this, because of that. And you get down and the girls are gone and you sit in the room and you look at one another and you go, who are you? That happens. The relationship got stale. It got cold. They didn't do what they ought to do. And people get down several years into it. And if they're not careful, they go, where'd you come from? I marry you? Well, yeah, I was the one who said I do that night. You said it too. Well, and they're sitting there going, it's different. It ain't like it was then. I don't have the feelings. I don't have the love. I'm going to tell you folks, the divorce rate in America, what is running over 50%. So that tells you there's a lot of people that did not keep the relationship between them and their companion on the even keel like it ought to have been. They didn't write the little love notes. They didn't take them out and have the dates. They didn't do the things that they ought to do. And because of the children and the pressure and the jobs and so forth, they got down to a point. And they were in trouble. I'm going to tell you, it can happen to spiritual life the same way. You can get so busy and not doing the things that you ought to do, not the praying, not the fasting, not the reading, not the study, not the going to meeting. You can do these things Not do these things. And after a while, you get to a point and you go, it ain't like it was, folks. There's a man that used to be right here in this congregation many years ago. He'd been dead now for, he died in 09. He was here when I was here and served as pastor. I've known him my whole saved life and loved him dearly. In Myrtle, he went to the altar and he got saved. And he got up. This was in 1980, I believe it was. The first year we had the tabernacle, or 81. First year we had the big tabernacle out there. And he got up and he said this, something like this. He said, folks, he said, I woke up one day and I discovered I lost it. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I lost it. He didn't keep the relationship up. Listen, a relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important relationship that you and I need. No matter if it's a wife or a husband or children, we need to keep our relationship with Christ above all in every way. Praise God. Lord, help us. There was a couple got married one time. This had been back several years ago. A number of years ago, matter of fact. And on their wedding night, he said, who do you love most? Me or Jesus? And she looked at him and she goes, the Lord. He said, good, I want you to keep it that way and then we'll be fine. Keep him number one. Kiss the son, see? Pay him homage. Get out and do the humility. Get out and do the affection, so to speak. Give him some time. Give him some things. Give him some love notes, so to speak. And Lord, I love you. When's the last time, saints, you told him that I love you, Lord? There's people that are around that's got a profession and no possession. They've let it slip away. The relationship got stale. It got cold. Lord, help us. I'm not preaching anything I don't know about. I'm preaching to you tonight that you and I must have a living relationship with God. One that will keep you and hold you. And I'm going to get into some scriptures here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you, our marriage relationship with our spouses is very important. But God's is more. That's the most important relationship you and I have. It's eternal, see? If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have the victory, we got to keep our relationship with Him, number one. Becky and I done what the sister-in-law told us to do. We got up and the girls left. One went in June, and one went in May and one went in June, I guess it was. Very close together. We had the empty nest syndrome, bam, just like that. Well, we had kept our relationship warm. And we had... was enjoying one another. We were enjoying the girls. We made trips to the east. We done things with Donna back here. We were having an enjoyable married life. Right down 28, well, I don't know how many years it was, 27, 28 years. And we was enjoying that. It can be done. You can have that type of relationship right down till that one breathes their last breath. Or with God when you breathe your last breath. Let's go to Mark 12 and 28. Desire your prayers. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answering him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, well, master, thou said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, to love thy neighbor as thyself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Love. A man spots a girl or a lady. Talking about same age. I'm not talking about age difference here. And he begins to, I like her. She's pretty. She sees him and goes, not bad looking. Handsome. He gets a phone number or whatever and they start talking. Start a relationship. They have their first date, second date, third date. He finds himself falling in love. There is what they call love at first sight. I didn't experience that. I don't guess I've ever experienced what I call love at first sight. But the bottom line is, they start, and if they will keep the foundation of love, it's what holds the bricks apart, and it's what holds the bricks together. His old brother said down in from Alabama, he said, this is what it is. It's a love that holds it and works with it and takes care of it. Listen, folks, tonight, the greatest thing you can do is love God above all other things. Love the Lord thy God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, everything you've got. Love God. That is the foundation right there. We've got to love Him. If we're going to have a marriage relationship, you've got to fall in love. There's a brother by the name of John Busby, and he made this statement. He said, I didn't get saved because I feared hell. I got saved because I fell in love with Jesus, praise God. I saw His love. I began to desire Him and want Him. Listen, John got it and he kept it and he died with it, praise God. If you and I want to have that type of relationship, we're going to have to fall in love and stay in love. You're going to have to keep that the rest of your life. Don't let anything suck that away. Take it away. Pull it away. Keep your love fresh. Do things for Jesus. Do things for Him. Let Him know that you love Him. All right, let's go to John 14. John, the 14th chapter, the 18th verse. John 14, 18. How's your love tonight? Do you love the Lord? It talks about in the Bible, first love. Do we love the Lord tonight with what you would call a first love? Fresh, blooming, hot, so to speak, love that you're right there. You want to do anything you can do for Jesus. The pastor can count on you at any work day. And anything needs to be done, you're right there. Yes, sir. You're at every service. You're reading. You're praying. You're amen in the Word of God. You're doing everything you can do. I love you, Lord. I want to have a relationship with you. Listen, folks, today, if Jesus does not accept you and I and bless us, we can never have a relationship with Him. He says there in one place, I was praying, here some months ago, and I was praying about somebody that I felt like the Lord had brought down about as low as a person could get, but they weren't turning. And I thought, what's the problem, Lord? Here they are, basically flat out. And they're not turning back to You. They're not doing what I think they ought to do. Now, that's me talking there. They're not doing it. And the Lord let me know. He said, no man cometh unto Me except the Father which sent Me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I said, oh, we've got to be drawn. Conviction and drawing by the hand of God is the greatest thing you and I can have. Don't fight it. Accept it. Don't push against it. Say, Lord, thank You. I want that conviction. I want that dealing. I want You, Lord, to draw me, to call me, to work with me. When a man loves a woman, he draws her. He does things to make her love him more and more. The Lord draws us. We need to respond to that. We need to let Him know, Lord, I love You. I love You, Lord. I appreciate what You're doing. Thank You. How much do we thank God every day for what He's done for you and I? If He didn't do things for us, we wouldn't have a thing, folks. All right, 14 of John, the 18th verse. St. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless, for I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now listen to the way this is written. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, the greatest thing, one of the greatest things, Brother Michael Williamson preached a message in Greenbank in June about revealing. In other words, the Lord revealing himself to you and I. It was a good message. Matter of fact, he done some good preaching in that meeting. Pastoral, biblical preaching. I enjoyed every message he preached there. And he was bringing out exactly basically what this 21st verse is saying. Talking about, will manifest thyself, myself unto him. In other words, make myself plain to you. I want you to understand me. I want you to know me. I want you to understand my power. I want you to understand my glory. I want you to understand the things that I've got for you out of the Word of God. I want to manifest myself unto him. Listen, folks, the greatest thing that we can have him do in our relationship with him to stir us and to help us to build a foundation of faith and have power with God is his manifestation unto us. Help us to see his power. Help us to see his love. Help us to see his workings. Listen, how many of you have seen the power of God? What is divine healing built on? It's built on a foundation of faith, but he's got to help you to see some things for you to grasp it. The first time God touched me and gave me a healing touch, it was a manifestation to me that this is Jesus Christ. I burned my eye. I was in deep pain. Had the eye doctor give Mama a prescription. She went and got it. I didn't know anything much about divine healing. And so we went by and we got the prescription. And I was going to take one. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, it'll not do you a bit of good. And it didn't. I was in just as much pain after as I was before. And Mama goes, would you like me to call Brother Sammons that was in a meeting here at Guthrie? I said, please. Had both eyes patched, had quilts over the windows. It was dark in that room. And in walked Brother Sammons, Mark Spinks, and they marked in. And Brother Sammons started talking to me, the old general did. And he was so loving and gentle. I told him what was going on. They knelt down, they anointed me, and they prayed for me, and instantly the pain left. Instantly. And he healed my eye 50%. What I've never figured out is why he didn't heal it totally. Now that's what I don't understand. But he healed it 50%. Went to the eye specialist the next day that had been my eye doctor for many years and went to him and told him the story. He said, son, if I would have taken that pain pill that I give you, I'd still be knocked out today. And he said, the eye is healed 50%. My daddy was coming down with the flu, or Mama, or both of them. He said, what you need to do is pray for them too. Said, we don't get results like that in our church. We pray for people. We don't get that kind of results. Listen, it was manifestation of the power of God, of what he can do for you. Listen, he wants you to know him and know him better. He wants a loving relationship. He wants a deep relationship. He wants a relationship that can take the waves and take the rolls and the bumps and the hard places. He wants a relationship that can go on no matter what. Kiss the Son. So he wants to manifest himself unto you and I. You and I need to accept that and thank Him. Thank You, Lord, for manifesting Thyself unto him. And then he goes on down here. Well, I said in the 20th verse, he that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them is he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Lord, help us. And I will love him. Now, folks, today, it's important to keep the commandments. This is not an if and. This is an absolute must. As we have light and conviction and understand on the Word of God, He expects us to keep that, to work with that, to do what He wants us to do. Oh, tonight, there has been saints that have died giving their lives for God because of the conviction they had on the Word of God. There have been people that have done things for the Lord because of their convictions and their understanding. They've stood up to God. They've stood up to man. They've been burned at the stake. They've had all kind of things happen to them because they was willing, because of the convictions and the understanding. They've served in prison. They've had all kind of things happen. John was put out on the Isle of Patmos. Listen, folks, today, they've had lots of things happening because they loved God enough to stand by the convictions and the commandments and the Word of God. They would not run away from that. Lord, help us to keep the commandments. All right, then he goes on down in the 23rd verse, and he said, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. This is sweet. Make our abode with him. In other words, move inside, so to speak, and live there. Live right here within us. My boss told me one time, many years ago, he said, Carl, if I believed and lived the way you lived, I'd have to live on the middle of 800 acres with nobody around. I thought, Danny, that ain't going to do you no good. The very one that causes all the problems is going to be there anyway. It don't matter. Ain't going to people be there, but the devil will be there. You're still going to have to love him. You're still going to have him abiding and aboding within you and I for you and I to be able to live and have the power and the authority that we need to have where we can stomp the head of the devil and go the places and do the things that he'd have us do. Make her abode. Just come in and love. Live. Love and live with you and I. That is the sweetest. All right, I wasn't going to use this one, but I want to go to Revelation 3. I had this at another spot and wasn't even going to use it. It said here in Revelation 3 and 20, it said, behold, look at, consider, weigh, study. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Listen, folks, today, make his abode, sup with us, commune with us. There's nothing sweeter than that right there. That's the greatest thing you and I can have, is spending time with Jesus. Communing with him, having talking to us, spending time with us. Listen, folks, we're nothing to God. And yet he died for us. He died for us that he could commune with us. He died with us so he could be married to us. He died with us so he could bless us and help us. So Lord, help us this afternoon that we give ourselves to the Lord and we love him, that we have a relationship, not just a relationship. I'm thinking of two people right off the top of my head, and maybe more than that, that has made the statement that when they got saved or was considered getting saved, they said, I'm going to get saved and live for the Lord one day. And then they got saved and they lived 2 days and 3 days and 4 days. And they go, now that I've been living for him for a long time. Listen. Some people say, you can't do this. I'm here to tell you that you can do this. I'm here to tell you that it is possible to have a loving marriage relationship with Jesus Christ and him crucified that will go all the way to the end of your death and to the judgment. All the way. It's there. It's possible. You can do that. Listen, it's possible, but there's certain things. You've got to love the commandments. You've got to love God. You've got to commune with Him and Him with you, praise God. I made a mistake one time. And I repented of it. And then about 2 weeks later, I thought I'm going to double check this thing out. So I go back to the Lord again and He stopped me. And He said, what I teach you in your word, in my word. He said, I teach you that you're to forgive people, right? Yes. He said, I am the spirit of forgiveness, child. I am. Listen, folks, if we made a mistake, ask the Lord to forgive us and get back on our feet and go, praise God. Don't wallow in the mully grub, but get back up and say, thank you, Lord. He's the spirit of forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. Matter of fact, Brother Leslie told me, he said, listen, son, basically you're forgiven. All you got to do is ask for it, praise God, and accept it by faith. He's already forgiven you. Listen, today, the Lord wants to forgive us if we make blunders and mistakes, and He wants us to get up off our knees and go for God, praise the Lord. Amen. You guys can be quiet around here. The Lord wants you to get up and go. Said the just man falleth 7 times. But what does it say? He riseth again. He gets back up and he goes, praise God. He doesn't stay down, but he keeps going. Listen, if there's anybody in here that's lived for God for any length of time and never made a mistake, I want to talk to you after service. Never had to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I blundered there. If you're so perfect, I want to know your secret. John, the 6th chapter. I'm trying to get finished here. You pray for me. John, the 6th chapter, and about the 48th verse starting here. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he goes on down here and he says in the 53rd verse, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Whoo! Talk about a relationship. Here it is right here. You can go to John, I think it's what, the 14th, 15th chapter where it talks about the vine. There it is again. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. I am. Now there is sisters in the church that are wonderful bread makers. How many of you like the aroma of fresh bread? How many of you like to eat fresh bread? I'm talking about right out of the oven. On a job one time, Earl, maybe Niecy Marie and myself. And anyway, this couple working in the kitchen making homemade bread. And Earl and Marie and I, we took our lunch break and went to eat and come back, and they got the bread all done up and got it in the oven, and the aroma was filling the house. And I said, listen, folks, I said, you sure can make a full man hungry. I wanted some, see? I wanted that bread. Listen tonight, I want to challenge you. This is the best bread in the world that you can eat. It far exceeds anything. It's life, it's breath, it's everything. It's the abiding, it's the power. But you got to eat of it, praise God. You got to partake of it. Oh, tonight, said, eat my bread and drink my blood. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. He wants you and I to have a relationship. He wants, that's what it's talking about. You can't literally eat Christ, but it's talking about having a relationship, a marriage relationship with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. A relationship that will be a blessing to you and everyone around you. They eat that manna and are dead. But said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Again, abiding. I made my abode with him. I have a intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. As the living Father sent me and I live in the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna or dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ tonight. Thank the Lord that he come down. Thank the Lord that he says, eat of me. Thank the Lord that it's possible. There is a restaurant, I'm going to call it. It's called the Petroleum Club. It's in Oklahoma City. I guess it's still there. I don't really know. I've never been there. I've just heard about it. It's a very elite place to eat. You can't just walk in there and have a steak. You can't walk in there and have a hamburger. You've got to belong. You've got to go in there, and if you don't have a suit coat on, they have suit coats hanging there in your size that you can wear. You've got to do this and you've got to do that. Listen, folks, Jesus ain't that away. This is a deal where if you come to him as he's dealt with you and you surrender and you give yourself to him and have a relationship with him, listen, you're his child and he's your savior and he's married to you and you to him, and there's a blessing there that far exceeds any other thing in the world. The greatest feast is at the table of Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Meditating on this, and this scripture come this week. It said, casting all, no, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now then, listen to what it says. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, when we get saved, he wants you and I to go on and grow. He wants you and I to go from milk to meat. He wants you and I to go from a babe to a grown up. He wants you and I to have strength and authority and power. He wants you and I to be close to him. So consequently, he is going to allow things to come that's going to work with that. Trials and tribulations. It's not all going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be some thorns along the way. There are going to be some potholes in the road. There's going to be some hard places. As Sister Brenda said one time, listen, folks, my road's got potholes in it, but that road leads home, praise God. There are some hard spots, but that road leads to the house. Woo! Went one place one time in Missouri, and at the end of the road was this house. I mean, the very end of the road was this house. It was rocky, and it wasn't all smooth. It wasn't I-44. It wasn't anything of, and you had to climb, and you had to do this, and you had to do that. But folks, when I got to the top, there was a view there that you can see for miles. It's gorgeous and beautiful. So he's going to take you through some hard places. Who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you have suffered a while. You're going to have to do some suffering. And I'm not totally talking about physically here neither. I'm talking about in any way the Lord allows us to suffer. Saints, we're going to suffer a while. We're going to go through trials and tribulations and battles. And He's doing that to make you perfect. He's doing that to establish you, to strengthen you, and to settle you. I dare say there's not a marriage of anybody that has ever been married that hadn't had some rough spots in their marriage. It ain't going to be perfect smooth sailing. There's going to be some times where that you're going to have to pull almost literally arm in arm and pull together because it's hard. It's not just the world. It's the saints. It's not just the saints. It's the world. Everybody has it, bless your heart. But in this situation here where you and I are a child of God, the Lord today wants to settle you. He wants to make you perfect. To establish you, to set fast, to fix firmly, to render immovable. Strengthen is to give you strength to bear all this. And settle you is literally found you or establish you on a firm foundation. It's an allusion to a house who is so firmly fixed on a foundation that it cannot be moved by winds or floods. Before Sister Maxine was in the wreck in 1980, I think, she had been praying that I want the Lord to deepen me down. I want to have more of God. I want to have a better relationship. And she said, folks, she said I had that wreck and she nearly died. She went through all she went through and said, now then I feel like I'm set in cement. It settled her, established her, and strengthened her, and perfected her. It done things that nothing else would do. Listen, He knows what you can take, and He will give you only the things that can be a blessing to you. But it is to settle you and to give you a relationship to Him that is deeper and greater than any relationship in the world. Back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, I think it is, said He's going to prove your love. Wait a minute now, Brother Carl. No. It's what it says. He'll prove you. What did he do with Abraham? When he called Abraham and told him to go up there and sacrifice his son, would that not be proving his love? His only son, his grown son that had a relationship for 30-something years? This wasn't a baby 2 or 3 months old. This was a grown man that him and his father had built a good relationship. And Jesus said, or God said, I want you to take and sacrifice this man. What did Abraham do? He done it, didn't he? He went exactly like the Lord told him to do. The Lord is going to allow us to go through things to settle us, to perfect us, to strengthen us so that we can have a closer relationship with Him. That's what it's all about, folks. A deeper relationship with God, and the hard places is what helps bring it on. If we had smooth spots all the time, I may be wrong here, but I think we'd all be a little bit spoiled. There was a boy, worked for a couple. No, he was the wife's son. He went down to Mexico, and he was on a mission trip down there, and his stepdad was a lawyer. His mama owned a realty business. There was, I guess, good money there. And he had about anything he wanted, the boy did. Had a nice home, nothing fancy, nothing big. It was a good sized home. And so he come back and they picked him up and he got in the car and they're going down the street. He said, you know what? He said, I've come to the conclusion I'm just spoiled. And they both chuckled to themselves and said, yeah, I thought so. I thought you was a little spoiled. The Lord don't want us spoiled. He wants us established. He don't want us spoiled. He wants us settled. He don't want us spoiled. He wants us strengthened. He wants us perfected, whereby we can claim, stand, and do exactly what we need to do in a relationship that'll be a blessing to Him and to all around us. Luke 24. I'm trying to get through. Pray for me. All right, here it is, the road of Emmaus. And you remember the story. You may know it better than I do. Where the two apostles are coming and Jesus joins them. And The starting of this story is 24 Luke and 13. It goes all the way down to 32. And Carl's not going to read all that. But he gets on down in here and I'll get to the place where I want. And all right, I want number 32. That's what I want. Anyway, they had a good talk. They had time, and the Lord talked to them and visited with them and took them all the way back to the old and brought them up to the present and so forth. And then he went with them in, and they were at the feast there, or at a supper time, and they were eating, and he vanished out of their sight. And 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, my question is this, saints, is our heart burning within us? Are we fired up for God? Have we got our hearts illuminated and fired up and everything by the Lord? Are we just getting a little bit cool, complacent? The Lord wants us to be on fire. Said our hearts burn within us. This was Jesus. We had it. Maybe we didn't totally understand it, but we had him right there. That was Jesus. Listen, folks, let's not lose him. Let us hold him. Let us respect him. Let us kiss the Son. All right, closing, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. We need to keep a examination going. We need to take inventory. We need to check ourselves. When I was in the service station business, I kept a running inventory of how things were. You go into Walmart, you go into some of these stores, what do you find? You find people with these little machines and they're going around, they're checking. What are they doing? They're checking inventory. That's what they're doing. They want to be sure what's sold, what's there, and so forth. You may buy something or order something. Say you go online to Amazon.com and you're there and it'll say you got one left or we got two available or however it says it. I don't do much online like that. My daughters do. I don't. But it says this kind of thing. Well, we need to look. We need to check. We need to say, Lord, search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because I want to love you, I want to serve you, and I want to be your bride. I want to be married to you, Jesus Christ. I have the most special privilege. Listen, when he come down and he knocked on our door and we opened it up and he come in and you and him was married. Listen, that goes far greater than anything else in the whole world. In 1971, in April, I guess it was, maybe March, Brother Lawrence and Sister Maybelle Pruitt come to our house. They were sitting there and they were visiting with Mama. And Mama said, I want to ask you a question. You go to Guthrie, Church of God up there. Yeah. I don't know just how she asked it, but I'm just paraphrasing some of it. Said, are there any nice available young ladies to marry up there? Yeah. My first camp meeting was May of 1971. She was bringing me to Guthrie for part sole reason to find somebody to marry. I found somebody to marry. His name was Jesus Christ first in October of 1971. I married Rebecca Ann 12 years later in 1983. Oh, today, my encouragement to you is marry the Son, stay with the Son, and die with the Son. Pray for me. Kiss the Son. I want to make heaven my home. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight.